Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fregimini. Going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. It is Dream Cruise weekend as I speak to you here on Tuesday, if you're hearing this, probably the 12th of August, 2025, which means we got a unique schedule. We've got fewer shows, but more acts than most weeks. So let's get into it all. We'll have an interview with Tom McCarthy in just a couple of minutes, too. And that's always special when Tom's on the show and we're together. I think you'll dig that. But here we go. Detroit to L.A. comes to you Tuesday night, the 12th of August at 7:30 p.m. You know how this one works. I talk about it every week we do it. A bunch of comedians get a chance to go to L.A. It's still in the opening round, and you get a chance to vote. So whether you know somebody, a friend or a family member competing, or you just want to see a really cool show where you get a chance to tell us who was the best, who you thought was the best, you got to come out to Detroit to L.A. It's at 7:30 p.m. And, of course, ComedyCastle.com has all the tickets for all the shows I'm talking about. The Improv 101 Comedy Class Showcase is 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 13th. This is Tam White's improv class that worked hard on Saturday for the last few weeks, and they're going to show off their wares for you at 7:30 p.m. So shout out to Tam making her debut improv class at the club. Ryan Brown, who we interviewed last week, is at 7:30 on Thursday the 14th. I love Ryan. Guy works hard. If you didn't hear last week's show where I talked to Ryan and Camilla Bellario, go over to ComedyCastlePodcast.com or subscribe on any of the podcast services and get that one. And you can hear Ryan and the Friday night act, Camilla Bellario, 7:15 on the 15th for Camilla. So headlining debut from Ryan on Thursday at 7:30. Headlining debut from Camilla at 7 p.m. on Friday. They were both my students years ago, and they're both excellent, and they're going to have a great show for you. Whichever one you choose to go to, and you can go to both. That's what's great about this week, right? And then Thursday, a single show with Tom McCarthy at 7 p.m. on Saturday. That's actually Dream Cruise Day, August 16th. You'll hear us talking to Tom here, and just, hey, don't go through Woodward Avenue. You know, take 75. Up to the 11 mile exit. You won't have to deal with anything on Woodward Avenue. Isn't that right, Cleo? You just barked, and then I gave you the mic. You didn't bark no more. You want to bark? Want to say hi? She wants to sniff the microphone. Okay, you can't sit with me now. You got to go sit over there. You want to come sit up here? You'll hit the buttons. And when you hit the buttons, the show goes off. My little shih tzu is all over me here. I just got a couple more minutes. I got to tell people about Tom. Don't pull my headphones up, babe. No, you're pulling my headphones out. Oh, my goodness. But Tom at 7 on Saturday. It's a single show. Tom's headline. This is his third opportunity to headline the club. And Tom's just so funny. What a great dude. You're going to hear from him in a second. Again, ComedyCastle.com for all of these shows and tickets. Come on out. Let's talk about Tom, though, because I interviewed Tom. Most of you will know, or a lot of you will know, that Tom McCarthy was the original host of the Comedy Castle podcast going all the way back to 2019, I believe, is when we started the show. And Tom did the show every single week and got all these interviews and recorded them at home and would send them to me, and I was the producer of the show. Now, I had experience with podcasting and, doing all the technical end of it. And I said, Tom, I can do that for you. You handle the interviews. And we did that for years and years, and it worked great. Tom eventually said, hey, you know, it's kind of a grind. I got a whole day job situation that I got to take care of. And he said, you know, if you want to take over, I think you do a great job. And I did that starting in 2023. But it's great to have Tom back on the show. He's got a headline night, which is terrific. So it's a lot of Comedy Castle podcast memories, some stories that I don't think either of us have ever told on this show. You'll also hear about some inside comedy things, you know, some stuff. Tom talks about the first day he met me hosting the club bar at Open Mike. We've had a few of those stories recently on this show. Shout out to Sean Patton for his, which was great. Just a lot of cool stuff. You know, we're buddies. We hang out. We talk. Love this guy. I think he's a great comic as well. And, you know, as the original host of the show, you'll even hear me as I sign on. That's Tom McCarthy's line on the other end of my line. I got, yeah, he started it. I keep that going. The music that you hear and that you're about to hear more of in just a second was played by either Tom or Tom's son. So if you like those guitar riffs I play for you, those are from Tom and his son. Come on, how cool is that? So, you know, Tom's legacy definitely looms over this show, but in the best way possible. And I want you guys to all go out and check out Tom this weekend, 7 p.m. Maybe go watch the cruise and then go right to the club. That's a fun night, right? And there'll be stuff going on after. You'll be out at 8:30. Stuff to do after. Anyway, Tom McCarthy, here it is. We'll be back after, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, I stole that from you.
I stole it from someone else.
Well, that's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom McCarthy, your Saturday headliner this week. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast, Tom.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. It's weird. This was my baby for so long, and now it's yours. And so what was the breakdown? I know you're good with stats. How many did I do, and how many are you at?
You know
now?
What? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look that up right now. But I think I started doing this show in January of 23.
Sounds right.
So, yeah, that would be we're at two. This is 237 that we're doing today. So I'm trying to remember which one. I'm trying to remember who my first interview was. I think if I can find this, I think I'm going to look.
237
shows. Well, I think I have January 9, 23, maybe being my first show as a host.
That was
126.
Wow.
So you did 125.
So if my math is correct, which it very rarely is. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've done more than me now.
No. The math is like completely wrong because you've got me by, you did 125.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm at 236. Yeah. You've got me by 14 shows. So
yes,
however many, you know, by January, I think I will overtake you in terms of number of shows, but then because of the pandemic break, you could say in months and years, you will still have a significant lead on me.
I think people tuning in for a comedy podcast love to start with some stats. Stats and dates and breakdown.
Two guys in their 50s trying to remember what the hell happened 3 years ago. Yeah,
you've done a great job with it, and I think
thank you, Tom.
Our gift for gab is similar. Matter of fact, I'm wondering if people even know that we're not the same person. No. It's like it's like in Darren and Bewitched, didn't they? What are some famous TV shows where they switched the Darren's? Yes.
Where did they switch?
Let's follow up some stats with some 60s sitcom.
Well, you went from the Ropers to Mr. Furley.
Okay.
So that was sort of a smooth transition. They were different characters.
The Jeffersons had two Lionels. Remember the son?
Oh, okay. There you go. That's a good one.
There was two Lionels. There was two Darrens on Bewitched. There was another big 60s into 70s show.
Roseanne had two different daughters. Two actresses.
Oh, my God. That's a good one.
The blonde daughter. And I'm not even a fan of, well, if you know me, you may know why I'm not a fan of Roseanne, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, that show had two different daughters.
And there was never an explanation. I mean, you just tuned in for the new season. You're like, well, who the fuck is this guy?
He's a whole nother guy. Well, then in Marvel, Terrence Howard was replaced by Don Cheadle in Iron Man for one of the sequels. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Ed Norton was replaced as the Hulk by the other guy. I can't remember that guy's name. Mark Ruffalo. Well,
you just won't see it like in big time TV now. Like if all of a sudden, I mean, shit, who does Peter Dinklage play on Game of Thrones? What if they swapped him out?
Swapped him out for some other little guy.
With no explanation.
Big tall guy replaced him. Yeah, I don't know. But it's all right. Sometimes when I talk to these headliners, and I'll go, I go, Derek, didn't we talk before? And I was like, no, I think that was the other guy. Like that conversation happens off the air. But for me, people may not know this, and I do tell people this, and I kind of blow their minds. I say, you know, I was making that show as the producer and doing the edit and the website and sort of all that stuff.
You were the magic.
From the beginning, from the beginning.
I was the on-air talent.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you were behind the scenes. Yeah, but it's a great idea, you know. I mean, obviously credit Mark for green lighting it and thinking, it's time for a podcast, and we've taken it seriously. We've put some good content out there, and it's a relatively, at least from my shoes, other than the prep and all that stuff and the time constraints, it was always an easy show to do just because of the nature of who comes through the castle on a weekly basis. You get to talk comedy with some really talented people, and it was an absolute pleasure.
I got to ask Jeff Garlin from one of my favorite shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm, about working with Bruce Springsteen on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that was neat for me.
Oh man,
how about that? That's, yeah,
gosh, I'm having we won't air any dirt, but one of my favorite Sclaro, Brian. It was Brian Sclaro.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I won't air the dirt as to why the episode never aired.
It was on the website. People could have listened to it.
Oh, didn't we have to take it down or something?
Do you remember what happened? I was on a cruise in the Caribbean, and I was literally heading to the main dining room dinner. We were cruising with eight folks. My now wife's family, but she was my girlfriend at the time. And you're just like, yeah, we got to take the show down.
And I was like, that's right. I was on vacation myself too.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. Brian is scheduled to be on the show in like 2 weeks.
He's a funny as hell dude.
He's one of the best comedians in the world. Absolutely.
You'll know the do's and don'ts and what landmines not to step on. But I was so excited to talk to him because I'm a huge Mad Men's one of my all time favorite TV shows.
Yeah.
And he had a small but very important part in an episode in the first season of Mad Men that I just could not wait to talk to him about. And not to mention he was pretty good buddies and ran around a little bit with Doc from Back to the Future.
It was
just 45 minutes of shooting the shit and enjoying it. Yeah. And unfortunately it never saw the light of day.
Brian's so funny. And believe me, the thing about taking it down really didn't color my opinion of that guy at all. I think he's just an incredible, super funny comic. You know, you just watch him and go, why is he just that good, you know? But apparently he's also, you know, very, very good friends with Marc Maron, believe it or not.
Yes, I knew that too. Yeah, very accomplished guy. But that
everybody knows Brian.
You know, therein lies kind of an interesting, just an observation over 15 years of doing comedy and getting paid for shows is you have to be respectful to other people in terms of where they're at in the whole pyramid scheme, because when your entire livelihood depends on your act and your persona and all that good stuff, if somebody doesn't want you to say something or, wants to leave something out, you got to respect that, this isn't exactly 60 minutes.
No, it's not. And I always tell people that I'm like, yeah, we're not, you know, it's all good. We're not going to, nothing controversial on this show. But back to Jeff Garlin, he did a thing about, he was on Joe Rogan. He said, you know who's terrible? A comedian who humps the air. And when I watched some YouTube videos, guys they cut in Joe's reaction to what Jeff was saying on the Rogan podcast with Joe Rogan from his stand-up specials humping the air on multiple occasions. And I just thought goodness. That was so funny. And I said to him, I said, look, I'm not trying to dump on Rogan, but boy, what a great opinion to have that anyone who humps the air is terrible comedy.
He
got a little testy. I had to walk that one back a little bit. And I said, no, I'm not dumping on Rogan. I'm just saying it's a great observation.
How was Jeff Garland's act? I mean, I love him, but I don't know that I've ever seen his act.
It was stories. It was stories from his life. It was stories from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He, he struggles with mental illness, which I think a lot of people don't know. Mm-hmm. He was removed from the TV show The Goldbergs. And now that is not a thing that I brought up at all, even though I knew all those stories. And I also knew that he was arrested for a road rage incident in a parking lot. And I didn't ask him about any of those things on the show. He gets to the live show and he talked about all of that stuff. He blames it on his mental illness. He actually went to rehab. He was suicidal at one point. And Susie Essman, his co-star from Curb, he credits as saving his life when he was at his absolute low. So he really talked about it. He was really, and I liked Jeff a lot. Offstage, I think we got along really good too. So that was a good celebrity experience that could have been maybe not so good, but it was great. Yeah.
Road rage in a parking lot doesn't seem like you're getting your money's worth. I mean, I'm more of an interstate.
I hear you, but
sometimes at a busy intersection.
CVS parking lot in Los Angeles, I think, was the set for that one. So maybe that'll put you in a little more of a mindset. But yeah, what was your so from doing this show? You have a great memory, like somebody you interviewed that was like super awesome because. You know, people can go back and listen to all those shows on our websites.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Anybody ring any bells with
Well,
you?
I mean, I reflecting back now that it's been, you know, a few years since I've done the show is just grateful. I mean, I enjoyed every minute. I'm grateful for some of the conversations. I mean, speaking to Attell, one of my legends, right, and how cool he was. I mean, he had maybe 10 tickets left to sell and he still did the podcast.
He still did it.
And then Mick Foley was completely sold out. And he even told me, he said, well, I think we're completely sold out. I don't know that I need to do this, but yeah, if you want to talk. And that ended up being really cool. And I'm certainly not a wrestling guy like you and so many people in the comedy world. It's such a wrestling and comic books, you know.
I'm not a comic book guy, believe it or not.
I'm not.
I'm a rock and roll and wrestling guy, I guess. If you're whatever.
And then I love the. If I had to name my favorite, it just with how things unfolded was the Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah, that was
nice. And that wasn't too far before he had passed. Mm-hmm. And I think at that time, I think I saw one of the documentaries and not the other, but just a fascinating character.
He was fascinating. And do you know who made one of the documentaries? It wasn't the one that was on Hulu. It was the one that kind of was released on YouTube, even though it was excellent, was comedian Steve Byrne.
Oh, yes, that's
and
right.
They made Byrne look like a villain without saying his name or even showing him, I think, in that Hulu one. So Steve Byrne came to the club and I interviewed him and I asked him all about Amazing Jonathan and how that all went down with the two documentaries and stuff. And he explained the whole thing. It was great. Yeah.
Well, you're fortunate to still be doing it. Well, you know, keep me posted. I'm obviously always hope for the best for you, but over the years you've been prone to a few health setbacks, you know, so
I have been.
This is terribly tacky, even by my standards.
Real low, dude. Well, here's the thing. Even if I'm like, because I spent a few weeks in the hospital, and this was like 2 years ago. But even if you were recording interviews, I don't know that I could put them up. You know what I mean? I don't even know what I'd be able to do at that point. But Tom, you were always in the dugout for me. You're always there. Could use
is that
you.
A dig at my poor technical capabilities?
No, well, listen, here's the thing. And I don't know if you've been to my studio where I do this now. I got really, really good gear when I took this over full time.
The shows sound awesome. Well, I always had some sound issues, which is really tacky when you think about the quality of people that we had on the show. And when you hear a crackling line, that's not the coolest.
And I, of course, one of the reasons was because it was my job to fix all of the crackles on the line and stuff like that. And I spent a lot of my time doing that. But anyway, enough about that. Come on. Let's move on. The podcast is rocking. We got to love Mark for letting us do it and supporting it. And well, it's also because you know why this podcast exists. And I think it was your idea for it originally, right? You went to Mark, I think.
I'm not being coy because I don't remember exactly how it all came together. Yeah. But I think our good and mutual friend, Bill Bouchard, was involved in it.
It's entirely possible. Yeah,
I think Mark and he may have had some discussions, and I think Bill knew my gift for gab and my knowledge of many different subjects in life who have not brought me anywhere. The minutia that I know about, if I had a way to monetize it, I guess a podcast is one way to monetize it.
That's the way to do it, man. Yeah. Podcasts are fun.
I think he was involved, and then, you know, we came out guns ablaze and had a great run, and then everything, you know, with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, the plug was pulled. God, it was probably the better part of a year.
Yeah, it was just getting into it. And it was like, no shows, no podcast, you know, so it was bad. But the other thing that I was going to tell you is, I have a question. I'm going to ask advice as someone who hosted this podcast. Okay. I'm asking your advice, and this is a compliment to you, and maybe I'm putting myself down and I shouldn't be, but here's the thing. I find, and no one's ever said this to me, but if you wanted to complain about my hosting of this show, is I get into comedy and the business of comedy and the minutia of, you know, making specials and clips and social media. And I ask all of these, you know, TikTok people that come on the show about the nuts and bolts of, you know, comedy career. And I think I lack what you used to do, which was like, oh, you were a fan of the Cleveland Indians growing up. Let's hear some Indian. Let's hear some tales from Jacobs Field, man. You got any good, you know, you would kind of do stuff like that. And I feel like I don't do that enough at all.
Well, I'm surprised that you even know Jacobs Field.
Yeah, that's all I know about the Guardians now. But yeah, that's it. But tell us, what was your approach to that?
Well, different strokes for different folks. You kind of you know a lot more about the business of comedy than I do. You know, it's been a part of your life longer. More of your bread is buttered from comedy through mine. So I think it's natural that you get into the weeds more than I ever did. But I always, going back to when I first got into the adult world, I've always been a people person. You know, people say that in interviews, job interviews and all this stuff, but I find people fascinating. I find most of my interactions with my fellow man are interesting, if not enjoyable. You know, certainly there are a small percentage that aren't, but I really do like talking to people and see where it leads. And I just think that's my view when I'm meeting people for the first time or speaking to them, you know, interviewing them is, you know, let's see where this goes. Mm-hmm. And most comics tend to enjoy talking and are extroverted. And I found it pretty easy. When it wasn't, it was a bit of a shock. And that's really when you need to rely on your notes. Please refer to the Chris Kattan episode.
I remember you struggling with that. And then I think one of the shows, I don't know if it was the week that you interviewed him, I was just there working the door, and I ended up, he needed another opener, and I ended up opening the show and MC'd for Chris. And yeah, he's an odd bird, Chris Kattan.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, you know, talking to any time you talk to a Saturday Night Live alum, that was always, I always found, and I'm not tailing off on the question, although I probably, you can edit it. The magic you can do in the studio, this is going to be so coherent, it's going to blow people's minds. But there was always two or three things about a person that I was prepping for the interview that I'm like, well, I've got to work this in somehow.
Yeah.
And anybody who was on SNL or, you know, the writers of anything SNL and the Tonight Show, anyone who had been on Carson. Oh my God. Yeah. Was that just so exciting?
Yeah. With those stories of getting the Tonight Show or whatever. I don't think of how many Tonight Show people I've had, like Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show people on the show, but never, I don't think I've had a lot of Carson folks.
You know, who a super cool interview that still is up in the, on the site was, Rich Scheidner.
Oh, okay. Rich Scheidner. Yeah.
Yeah. Who does that really cool history of comedy thing. But he, I mean, he had a couple Carsons, but like late '70s, early '80s Carsons, like the golden era. So it was just so fascinating, talking to him. But I mean, again, I am answering the question. I love talking to
podcast number 75.
Oh, there you go.
I'm Googling it. This is November 1st of 2021. It was Rocky Laporte and Rich Scheidner on the same show. How about that?
Yeah, I saw some. I don't know if it was. You never know. Everything's a fucking bot now on social media. But did Rocky have an accident?
Yeah, he had a car accident. I don't know that much about it, but there is a GoFundMe for Rocky and. Talk about one of the good guys in comedy for this. God,
what a, I mean, great comic, super cool guy.
Nicest guy in the world.
He's got some interesting, you can refer to the Rocky Laporte. I think I interviewed Rocky a couple times. I know you have as well, but, he's got a great story of when the golden era of stand-ups getting sitcoms and sitcom deals.
Yeah.
And, the pilot that he shot and the money that was behind it, but just how they screwed it up, you know, because they needed to have the smart alecky kid and the sassy wife, and it just was not his vision of it all. So that's another example of just shooting the shit with someone and seeing where it leads.
Yeah, well, shout out to Rocky. He was on episode 45 with he shared an episode with Mark Ridley at that point. And then he did the Rich Scheidner show on number 75. And then I interviewed him on podcast number 166 in November of 23.
Wow. And Rocky Laporte's in the Three Timers Club.
Yeah. And I love that I, you know, sometimes I make up a kind of a goofy title for the website, but I wrote Rocky Laporte 3, like three eyes, like the movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
you go. I was funny back in 23. I don't know what happened.
Are you still, are people still getting a Royal Oak Brewery gift certificate for the Three Timers Club?
That's a good question. I don't know who's been, I used to know who was the all time guest on the show. And I think it was Dave Dyer for a long time. I don't know if, like, yeah, Adam, I remember. Dickey maybe I has passed him Dyer. With this. Yeah. Let me see how many Dyers I've got in the archives. Isn't this great?
I think this episode needs more stats and more numbers.
I've got four Dave Dyers, but that's all I got. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I got four Dave Dyers. But
having four Dave Dyers is not the worst thing in the world. Awesome dude, awesome comic. I mean, that's another thing about just the show. You just, you know, different strokes for different folks, and you know, comedy is such a subjective thing, but just so many great comics who roll through there on a weekly basis. Hopefully.
Well, you're,
I don't shit the bed, and I can deliver on Saturday.
Well, you got to roll through, folks. Man. Hey, Saturday, it's Dream Cruise Saturday, which, you know, and it's a single show this week, but that is not the death knell for a comedy show at the Comedy Castle.
No, I've done Dream Cruise weekend a couple times, and the crowds have been fine. Right? Just avoid Woodward.
Yeah, you just got to stay off Woodward. You got to figure out, take the freeway past it, or even better, if you're coming from the north or the south, take 11 mile off of I-75, and that'll get you right there with really no delays. But people also, they'll cruise, you know, they'll hang out at the cruise, and then in the evening they pop over to the Comedy Castle for a little show.
The shows,
so that happens.
Shows are going to be great. You got Ryan Brown on Thursday and Camilla on Friday, correct?
They were last week's show. I gave them, you know, I gave them their little shine. Like, that's the thing that I like to do on this show, and I don't know how you felt, but for any local, like, people that I know that are first-time headliners that will always be on this show. That's kind of become my rule. Like, that's a little sort of treat that you get in your run up to your Comedy Castle week as you get to come talk to me. So
my wildest dream when I started comedy was when I started hanging out at the mics at the Comedy Castle. I would literally, the first mic I ever went to, Andy Beningo was the MC. And I remember sitting in the crowd. I didn't even get on that night. And I was thinking, man, if I could ever just get enough polish to MC the open mic at the castle, right, how much fun would that be? Yeah. And then, you know, I don't even know. For the first many years, I kept track of how many MC weekends I had there, how many feature weekends. Yeah. Now, I know this is the third time I'm headlining there, mm-hmm. but if you would have told me, I think that was in 09, so 16 years ago, this is one of the few things in my life that's actually exceeded expectations, mm-hmm. and I'm very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. And well, you deserve it. You do such an awesome job. And you're also a guy, unlike, I used to say it was you and Zach Martina that would get the award for this, but now it's exclusively yours. Professionals showing up at the open mic, not just showing up and popping on, calling, doing all of the rigmarole to get on the list, showing up, killing it, some new material, some of the greatest hits. And it's always a highlight of those Wednesday open mics when you're there.
Well, yeah, I'm respectful of the process, and it's kind of you to say that, but this isn't like being self-deprecating, but I've never felt ever that I've done well at the open mic at the castle. It's just not, I'm not a practice player. I always say that. And I think it's because, you know, I dick around maybe sometimes a little bit too much, but that's kind of the point. That's kind of what it's for.
You use it like you could go in there and just go, I'm going to just crush all these guys and just make everybody look bad with material that you know is going to kill. But you actually use it like you're supposed to as a professional. You're trying stuff out before the weekend shows.
And it's funny, too, is like, this isn't new to me, but any comic that's been around for a while, whatever their original scene was, you know, and I was always I've always been a Castle-based guy, you know, and used to be in the mix at Joey's and a little bit in Ann Arbor, but I was always a Castle guy. And you have your group of friends, a group of comics that you come up with. And then as the years go by, everyone either quits or they're on the road.
Yeah.
So when you show up, nobody knows. You're almost kind of anonymous. And so when I was there, not this last time, but the time before, earlier in the summer, I was just kind of running through in my head what I was going to do. And the MC said to me, do you want an intro? And it just kind of caught me off guard. And I'm like, do I want an intro? I just repeated it. And then the MC was kind enough to tell me what an intro was. I was like, man.
You know, like something I'll say about you to bring you out there, you know, maybe get him a little hyped up for you, man.
You do not know me, Tom McCarthy. My photo is in the ticket office if you look real closely.
Yeah. Oh, the indignity of these open micers to just assume. Yeah, MC. Well, you know, the open mic C is one of those, especially for people who's heard doing that for the first time, because that's sort of your first, that's sort of the road to working on the weekend is hosting the open mic on Wednesday. Those guys are just completely shitting their pants the whole time.
Especially
if it's their first time, because they don't want to blow it. It's more pressure. They go out and they do their opening that they think is going to kill, and it usually is just not. You know, the audience just isn't into the MC that much as far as their opening performance, and so they're really like there's flop sweat all over those MCs on Wednesday. But it's a tough job, but you got to do it. You got to get good at it.
You know, all my great, you just made me think of this because I can remember when I used to be in that green room when I was really green, shitting my pants. And I remember, you guys don't do it anymore, but back, this probably goes back close to 15 years. It was the old showroom manager, mm-hmm. Kevin Wheeler. Yeah. A lot of people may still know Kevin. He was always a really cool guy to me.
He was the showroom manager when I started.
For years, Kevin was there. I think he was like a retired or off the force Detroit cop. Yeah, so
he was a wounded. I think he was a wounded. I don't know if he was in a state or it was Flint or something. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Well, he was a funny guy, but he also had that police officer vibe to him. So he would go back into the green room and address everyone on the mic. So everyone had to squeeze into that green room and his speech. I wish I would have recorded that because it would be so great in a comedy documentary. He said, okay, guys, this is a PG to a PG-13 show. So keep it clean. You know, we don't want any, you know, fuck this or fuck that or fuck your grandma or fuck someone else's grandma. And you would see like people looking down at their notepads and scratching off stuff.
Well, listen. It's not the open mic. It's Saturday night. I want all of the fuck this, fuck that, fuck your grandma this weekend, Tom. I'm telling you. But that speech is funny because he did give that speech. And now I might be the person to give that speech. But I realize how ineffective that speech actually is at the end of the day.
I
would
can't.
Not even attempt that now because it's kind of like they're going to do what they're going to do. And comedy's hard enough without a guy barking at you before you're going up on stage in many cases for the first time. So I wouldn't do that to people.
Well, I remember it's just so funny all these years later that we've become friends and got to know each other pretty well because I always said the first time I met you,
we know this
was
story.
At Club Bart when you used to run Club Bart. Yeah. And for anyone listening or who's still doing comedy that used to do Club Bar. I mean, that was the all-time greatest open mic, a very difficult open mic, very chaotic. It was go up, show up. The stage was behind a bar, up elevated behind, you know, the bartenders were at your feet in front of you. It was just people would straggle in off the street. But when I first, like, you made the cardinal sin of not knowing me hot, you know, I was a hot item after three open mics at Joey's and now I'm going to try Club Bart. Yeah. And so, you know, you put me up like maybe fifth to last, which would probably close to 12:15 a.m. And I left my notes up there. Ooh. And I bombed. It went horrendous even by Club Bart standards. And I remember when I sat down, you held up my notebook. He said, Tom, you're going to want to come and grab this. No one's going to want to see it. But that's part of being a good MC, man.
And when you try to make it funny. Yeah.
When I would start MCing open mics, you have to do that. You have to when something.
Yeah.
You know, within the realm, you know, you don't have to like be mean to people, but though I always thought that was a funny way to first meet you and then now all these years later here we are.
Yeah, you got to have some tact. I mean, here's my thing as a host, and I'll give this advice to anyone. This is my nuts and bolts style of podcasting now about comedy, but always be gracious off stage to these performers. Even if you're throwing them off, even if you're mad that they ran the light and you're knocking on the door and you have to walk out. When I was running the Club Bart thing, because it was show up and go up, I would bring these people off stage. I would have to walk up there physically, take the mic or just turn the PA down or whatever I would do to get them off the stage. But when we would walk back the stage, I go, look, hey, try it. It didn't work out for you tonight. Come back next week and try it then. And that was like music to the ears of these open micers who just completely failed was, I can come back next week. I can come back. Most of them never came back. But the idea that you weren't so bad that you are banned from this club forever was enough for them. A lot of them to come back and, you know, really kind of figure it out.
Well, back in those days too, like name dropping, the thing that made me feel good is like guys I would see who are a little bit more established than me. I don't know if any of these guys save one or two were headlining at the time, but several of them had reached like feature stage, like Matt McLowery, Ricardo Flanagan was there, Nate Fridson, Jeff Sheen, guys who were really good comics, and they would struggle at Club Bart sometimes. Yeah, okay. And I would say, thank God. I mean, you don't want to see anyone struggle, and the objective is to make people laugh, but it helps you as a new comic realize that, hey, this is just part of the process. Yeah. And I know these guys are good. I've seen these guys kill, and just going and up here and failing is part of what you got to learn. Build the callus.
Yeah, man. It's you've come a long way. And here's one last question before about the nuts and bolts of comedy. We do our little previews before the show. And for the last week or so, you've been up there and a clip from the Comedy Castle. One of, and I'm going to credit you here, and you can tell me who really deserves credit for this, if it's not you, because some of the very nicest looking image of a comedian on stage at the Comedy Castle was that clip of you.
Oh, man.
And I don't know who did that, but my goodness, it was so nice looking. The club looked nice. You look great. You look like $1 million.
We spent some money on that.
Did
one.
You? Okay, well,
Alex from used to be a videographer for WDIV Channel 4.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So out of curiosity, what clip of mine are they running?
The thing about the toes.
Oh, naming the toes.
Cool. And that's I don't pick the clip. So if that's not your favorite, that's what someone else higher up on the food chain than me decided to pick.
It's funny because I've actually got, I was real busy in the spring. I haven't taken on a lot in the summer. Now I got a lot of stuff coming up and I was just like, man, I've got, what sets do I want to do? And yeah. I was like, man, that naming your toes bit I haven't done in a while, but now I'm going to have to leave that off the list for the castle. I saw that on the clip.
Did you put that out? Did you put out that?
Yeah. I've got a record that was recorded at the castle. I'm real proud of. Hey, here's one thing I can promo.
Okay.
Say It, Don't Spray It. You can pretty much get wherever you stream. So that was recorded at the castle in 21. And then there is a video companion that I had grand plans for that never really that never really panned out. But you can find it on YouTube. It's called The Path of Totality. I thought that was a clever title because like the eclipse was going on at that time.
Okay.
But I also found out after I put it out that there is an album of the same title by the new metal band Korn called The Path of Totality.
Yeah.
If you put that in your search engine and in a video for the band Korn comes up, that's not me.
Right. Well, yeah, that video was awesome though. Whatever you paid him, did a great job for you. It was nice.
Yeah. Just remember the camera adds about 15 pounds too. But no, wow. I appreciate you having me, man. Yeah. It's I appreciate you doing such a great job with this show after I put it in able hands. It was tough to walk away from it, but I'm glad it's still going. And I don't think people realize the work it takes to chase these people down. The higher up they are up the food chain, you're going through publicists and managers, and it can be. You know, the people who are that you get their direct contact info and can skirt around the apparatus of showbiz. Those are the easiest. But.
Yeah. You just get, hey, here's the email for this guy. Go ahead and just email him at the, oh, my God, that's amazing. But yeah, you got to go through assistants and agents and all kind of stuff usually. And then the other thing that, and that's why like interviewing you is real easy, is if it's a comic that I don't know, I'm watching their special on YouTube or Netflix or wherever it's from. I'm digging through their Instagram and their stories, trying to figure out, you know, have they been anywhere interesting to, you know, sort of, do I have something where my life intersects with theirs? And we could talk about that. It's this whole thing. It's a lot of, research we put into these promotional interviews. And we thank everyone for listening to them. And thank you for now being on the receiving end of that.
Are you, and you're not going to be there this weekend? Are you going to be gone all weekend
with the gathering? Week. Yeah, I'm out of town this week.
Damn. Well, you're going to have to, I'll have to either hang after one of the shows or I'll have to do another podcast. Cause I really wanted to, we're halfway through the Billy Joel documentary
McCarthy household. Well, you're 3 weeks into it. I've watched the whole thing. I've watched the whole Billy Joel thing.
Yeah, Springsteen features in it. So, of course, we got to rap about that. But I'm finding I like Billy Joel more than I ever realized. At the gym this morning, I listened to 52nd Street and The Stranger. The best workout music, but still good tunes.
The Stranger is probably now, as an adult, my favorite thing he did. But I think when I was a kid, I was right at the age that Glass Houses came out. And so that was kind of a big record for me when I was, God, I must have been 10 years old or something, you know, that was something that I engaged with. had a cassette of that. But I think as it goes on, you sort of, you know, it becomes a lot of, the second part becomes, you know, wife after wife after wife. And maybe a little more sad. I don't know. He's a great artist.
I can't imagine how many listeners you're going to gain from this podcast where we start off talking dates and stats and end up talking about Billy Joel. I mean, that's a comedy podcast in a nutshell.
The world wanted to know when Rich Scheidner was on this podcast. And we have answered that question more successfully than anyone could tell you. But I literally have to do like Google searches sometimes for past guests and when things happened and all kind of stuff. So that's even I don't have an encyclopedic memory of everything that I've done on this show.
And I thanks even, for having me, man.
Yeah, dude, it's great. Absolutely.
I'll miss you. I'll miss you this weekend, but I'll be catching up with you soon.
Sounds great, man. I hope you have just a killer show and everyone turns out for it. And, you know, fun Saturday in Metro Detroit, summer night. Go see Tom. You'll love it.
Thanks, man.
All right, Tom. Take care, buddy. Well, there it is, Tom. Thank you so much for talking to us today. Always fun, man. Always a good hang. We were going to do this in person, and then we didn't. More to my schedule than his. But, Tom, even on the phone, we made it work. It was super fun. And great comic. Come see Tom this weekend. You're going to have a great time. And Camilla on Friday. Ryan Brown on Thursday. Improv Showcase Wednesday. A little bit of everything this week, and it's all great. I endorse all of these shows. Detroit to LA, I endorse all of them. Good luck to those who lose Detroit out to LA. Some of them quit comedy. You shouldn't do that. Contests are, you know, kind of a bunch of nonsense. But anyway. Tom McCarthy, thank you. Thanks to everyone for listening. Again, shout out to Mark Ridley for letting us do this thing for all of these years. 237 shows, I think this is here. And we love it. I enjoy bringing it to you. Again, shout out. Share this show if you enjoyed it. Of course, follow us. Facebook, Instagram, Comedy Castle Podcast. You can also follow, subscribe to the show on any of the services, including Spotify, Apple, iTunes. Did they still have that? Apple Music, Apple Podcast. I think that's the thing. YouTube has the show. There's no video component of the show. Maybe there will be one day, but for right now, there is not. But you can go over to YouTube, listen to it through the YouTube Music app, which works real well. Just lots of ways to get the show. I may put up the full archive of shows. Sometimes I will say go to comedy, as you heard us talking about Rich Scheidner and Rocky Laporte and this stuff. You know, go to the archives on Comedy Castle Podcast where you can download or listen to them right on the page. But to have these on the your podcast app, I would need to enable all 237 shows in the feed. And usually you don't do that because sometimes it'll download 237 shows to people's device, and that's what we don't want to do because we know you'll probably never listen to all of those. We want you to listen to them as they come out. But it's a great archive of shows. It's a great archive of what's been happening in Michigan comedy for the last 5 years plus here, and we're going to keep doing it for you. I get a little nostalgic when Tom's on the show, and that's great reason. It's always great memories talking to Tom and doing this show. Thanks for listening. Let's get out of here. I'm going to stop being sappy. All right? Dream Cruise weekend. Stay safe, Woodward. Enjoy. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.